The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning to all of God's people. The message really has been confirmed, really, from the first song, even to the children's corner, kind of confirmed by what God wants to say. But let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We love you. And Father, we must admit that we're learning to love you also. Father, the song just said you have 10,000 charms. We know that that's called the rewards, and we thank you for that. Our endeavor and our purpose this morning is to get closer to you so that we may receive what belongs to us according to your standard, according to your word, O God. Bless Mooringsport today, O God, in a special way, every heart, every soul, every mind. Father, we pray for Pastor Prost and his absence today. See him safely home. Let him be refreshed when he comes back. Father, these and other blessings we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. And let us all say, amen. 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 It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be among saints. Amen. Even though I know our charge is to go out and to witness to the non-saints, to the heathen, to those that are lost, it's still good to be among saints. There's something about a refreshing and a strengthening when you're among fellow believers. And so thank you so much. I'm humbled by the staff's request and the board of directors' request to have me back again. Just between me, you, and the light post, I paid them off. I'm just kidding. Amen. We want to just share briefly this morning about positioning ourselves or positioning oneself for the end game. Positioning oneself for the end game. If y'all have watched the Avengers series movies, right? One of them is called Endgame, right? And so there's an end game, and that end game has been highlighted by the recent Israel-Hamas war. So we're edging closer to the end times as things break out and things manifest themselves. And so as the people of God, God wants us, the church, to be prepared and to be better positioned for the end time, for the end game. Can I get a witness? Y'all can look at me. That's fine. That's okay. That's okay. He wants us to be better positioned. And our goal today is to cover maybe four areas that God wants us to be better positioned in. Amen? So positioning yourself or preparing yourself with the end result being, I'm in better position now to receive God's blessings. God has a different language. We all know that. It's called Kingdom of God language, right? And the Kingdom of God language is not the same language that you see on ABC, CBS, CNN, Fox, and Reuters. It's a different language. And the church has a charge to dial in to that language and dial in to that mindset and dial in to that thinking to see what God has to say about it, to see what God's attitude is about it. Can I get a witness? So Luke chapter 1, verse 17, Luke 1, 17, and I'm a little clumsy up here, but we're going to get organized here in just a second. Luke 1, 17 talks about John the Baptist's assignment. Okay? John the Baptist's assignment. Amen. Thank y'all so much for coming out. And none of my guests showed up today. I had some guests scheduled to come, but nobody showed up. Y'all remember last time I had my grandson here, so amen. Luke 1, but that's okay. That's part of it. Verse 17 talks about John's assignment, and that is John the Baptist. Now, this is an angel in context. We're gonna do some things to save time. We're not going to go super detailed this morning. So this is more like a surface teaching or a surface sermon, so to speak. But in context, the angel is talking, okay? And we all know that angel, if we've been studying God's word, to be Gabriel, right? Okay, y'all with me? Amen. We know that's to be Gabriel. Gabriel was one of the seven angels that stood in the presence of God. And the reason I harp on that or say that is because later on in chapter 1, Zechariah is going to say, I'm an old man. How I know this is going to come to pass. So Gabriel reminded him who he was and what his position was. Amen. So he was one of the seven angels, and I get that from Revelation. Now I'm starting to move a little bit. Y'all see it. Now I get that from Revelation. There were seven angels in Revelation somewhere around chapter 5 that stand in the presence of God. Why am I saying that? Because what he is saying about John is God's viewpoint. It's the Father's viewpoint, right? So look at verse 17. And it said, it's already there, see. Amen. I'm getting it together, AV team. Amen. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That last phrase is a key phrase, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I'm going to let it sink in just a little bit now. Because the angel is revealing what John's assignment will be. But the very people that he's revealing what the assignment is going to be know God better than any other people on the earth. Can I get a witness? I'm getting a look, but can I get a witness? They know God better. It's talking about the Jews, right? They know God better than any other nation of people on the earth. But yet God is saying they need to be prepared. So could God be saying to the church, even though you're familiar with me, you still need to be prepared. There's an end game coming. And I want you ready for that end game. I want you prepared for the end game. Amen? There's a song by a gospel artist called Andre Crouch. And the media team may pull him up. Yeah, there he is. That's a young picture of Andre Crouch. Andre Crouch wrote a song in 1984. Called No Time to Lose. Y'all can fact check me on it, young people. Y'all can pull it up on your phone. YouTube, you can find it. No Time to Lose. And in parentheses is I Want to Be Ready. In that song, one of the lyrics says, making preparations for the great celebration. Making preparations for the great celebration. So why should we be getting ready? We already know God. We saved, right? We in church every Sunday, right? We pray, right? But we still need to be prepared. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because no man knoweth the day or the hour, right? No man knoweth the day or the hour. So it's best, like Luke 12 talks about, to be prepared, that faithful, wise steward. It said, if he knew the thief was going to break into the house, he would have did what? Been prepared. Watching. So that's our charge today. Practice to be in better position for the end game. Amen. We know a good baseball catcher, right? And I can call a few names. I know some of the older people would know them. Mike Piazza, right? Johnny Bench. You never see a baseball catcher in this position the whole game. The position I'm in right now. The whole game, right? You never see that, right? Unless he's doing what? Throwing out a base runner, right? Or there's a pitch out. Can I get a witness? Other than that, he's in what? He's in position. He's catching that curveball, that fastball, that four-seam splitter. Right? So he's what? In position. Preparing what? For the next pitch. And so as a church, we can get in better position. We can get dialed in more. Amen? Amen. So as we edge closer to the end game, God is challenging us this morning to be in better position and to be even more prepared. Amen. So there are four areas, basically four areas we're going to cover. This is not an exhaustive message. This is just a surface message. It's an introduction. So we want to practice, right? With the end result being in better position, we want to practice repenting. So, oh Lord, Brother Youngblood, you mean saints have to repent? Yeah. Practice repenting. So we need to practice repenting. We're going to cover four. We need to practice forgiving. We need to practice adapting. And lastly, we need to practice managing offenses. Repenting, forgiving, right? And then adapting. Thank you, sis. Had a senior moment there. And then managing offenses. So let's look at repenting, okay? I know sometimes we say, well, why is that necessary? It's necessary to get closer to God. It's necessary to get closer to God. Well, you said, Brother Youngblood, I'm already close to God. Agreed. But to get closer, right, we have to practice repenting. Now, two of these are directly related to your relationship with God, and two of these are related to your relationship with people, right? So Revelation chapter 2, Revelation 2, 4 and 5. And this is the era of that end time because we're talking about the seven churches of Revelation, which I'm sure Pastor Prost has already touched on several times here. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. All right. Now he's talking to the church at Ephesus, one of the more successful churches. One of the more churches, you know, and I'm saying this in comparison to Laodicea and some of the others, right? So it wasn't a strong rebuke, but watch what God says in verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do what?
and repent. This is the church now he's talking to. This is the born again, the ecclesia, right, that he's talking to. And repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Right? Is that what the scripture says? We're looking right at it, right? Two times in one verse, he's saying repent to the church. To the church. Now, young blue, where are you coming from? Where I'm coming from is sometimes our success can go to our head. Well, we ran 650 last night, and our offering was 30K. God is good. Sometimes our success, can I get a witness somewhere? Can go to our head, right? And so Ephesus was one of those successful churches, long-term success, but God had something to say about it. He said, hold up. Let's do this. Hold up. Okay? You've forgotten your first love. Remember when you were on fire for me? When Paul first came and established you? You remember how you served me? You was there in Paul's meeting at the school of Tyrannus for 2.5 years. You were there every service. You was on fire. But what happened? Success. Mm-hmm. And then success breeds pride. It's us that's doing it. It's not really God. It's us. And so then we start doing this. And next thing you know, we're off the main highway, we're on the shoulders, and in the ditch. So God said, return to your first love. I want you to repent before me, because my standard is different. My standard is higher. Can I get a witness? Can y'all at least smile at me and say, I see what you're saying. Amen. So he said, repent. And so that's a charge to the church to do so. Okay, let me get together here. All right? Amen. And then also, we want to look at Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, verse 30 and 31. Amen. You say, well, young blood, this is some of these areas that are kind of hidden, they're kind of quiet. Yes. But it has a lot to do with your personal walk. It has a lot to do with how you and God relate to each other. Right? The Pharisees had a thing called terminal knowledge. They knew it all. They knew it all. Right? Mm-hmm. Had terminal knowledge. And so Jesus kind of chastised them a little bit, or more than once. Matthew chapter 5, we don't have to go there. And AV team, we don't have to pop that up. But Matthew 5 talks about your righteousness, Matthew 5 verse 20, matter of fact, your righteousness exceeding the righteousness of the Pharisees. They had terminal knowledge. What I mean by that? What I mean by that is that one time they encountered Jesus and they said, they were having a disagreement, and Nicodemus came and said, look, don't our law say they believe we should give this man a try or whatever? And they responded to Nicodemus. He said, are you from Galilee? I'm paraphrasing now. Are you from Galilee? He said, the scripture don't say that a prophet is going to come out of Galilee. Terminal knowledge. Another instance, they said to Jesus, this is in the book of John, both of them in the book of John. Another instance, they said to Jesus, how can you say that before Abraham was, I am? You're not even 50 years old yet. How can you make that claim? Terminal knowledge. They knew it all. Terminal in the sense of like a terminal degree, a PhD, right? They knew it all. But we must be careful not to let that creep in our thinking, that we get so comfortable with God that we start calling him JC. No. Don't ever do that. You don't want to ever get that comfortable. Amen? He's God all by himself. He's magnificent all by himself. He's all-knowing all by himself. And he deserves respect and awe. Am I somewhere in the house? Amen. So Acts 17, 30 and 31 talks about repentance too. This is the Apostle Paul. Amen. Acts 17, verse 30 and 31. And I know it's already popped up. I'm just one of these readers now. So I like to turn. Amen. Y'all help me. I'm kind of old school. So I like to turn and look at it. Amen. So Acts 17, 30 and 31 says these words, right? Which they already up there, I know. Amen. And at the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commanded all men everywhere to do what? To repent. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And we know who that man is, right? That's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So we need to practice repenting, young people. Amen. And we need to practice forgiving. Mark 11, verse 25 and 26. Practice forgiving. Now, this is more related to people than God, but still, I think it's an area that the end result would be a closer walk with thee. There's a song, right? Just a closer walk with thee, right? So we want to get closer. We want to rub elbows closer with him. So Mark chapter 11, 25 and 26 talks about forgiveness, all right? And with the end result being better positioned for the end time, better positioned for the end game, better position. You say, young blood, why is it important to be better positioned? Well, see, I kind of came out of corporate America in the past. And you don't go to a company and say, I just want the dental plan, but not the vision plan. Amen. I want the hospitalization, but I don't want the long-term disability. That is so far-fetched and so backwards, right? Why? Because we want how much? All of our benefits. Whether it's UPS, whether it's Ochsner's, whether it's AT&T, I want all of my benefits. Can I get a witness? Is that true? Now, you go home, men, and you working, and you come home and say, babe, I just got the dental, but I didn't get the vision. What? Won't we wise? What? I want all the benefits. And you know what? That's in the scripture too. Psalm 102 talks about that. Psalm 103 talks about that. And forget not all his benefits. So what I'm trying to do is just nudge us a little closer, right? So we can realize what? More of the charms, more of the rewards, more of the benefits that God have for us. They come out of a relationship. They come this way, out of that tightness and that closeness. Amen. Am I somewhere in the Bible? Amen. So Matthew, Mark 11, right? 25, 26, I'll read it up here just quicker. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. See how that's tied? That's relationship tied. If I'm close to him, then I want to please him. If so-and-so get on my last nerve, right? But I'm close to him, then I'm going to choose the high road and say I'm going to forgive so-and-so who got on my last nerve this week. And what it do? It puts you in a closer position with the Father. And then the benefit is that when you get on somebody else's last nerve, the Father will show mercy to you and to me. How many of y'all see that? Raise your left hand. It's relationship driven. So I want to get close, right? And then I get the extra added benefits of being close. Now, what do it take? It takes discipline. Mm-hmm. It takes checking my emotions. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes humbling, right? Y'all heard the term eat humble pie? Sometimes it may take that because I'm looking at the big picture. When I get in my flesh, I want God's mercy, not his justice. Y'all understand what I'm saying? When I get on somebody else's last nerve, I want his mercy. So how do I get that? How do I get that, Brother Eddie? I get it by choosing the high road and choosing to be merciful to somebody else who I know wronged me. So practice forgiving. Matthew 6:12. Amen. Matthew 6, another example. This is the Lord's Prayer. Lord's Prayer, right? Matthew 6, verse 12. Is this helping anybody today? You say, yes, help me, Brother Young, but you show on my toes. Okay, well, God can heal your toes. This is going to help us. I'm helping Pastor help you. That's what I'm doing. Y'all know I'm supplying, so I'm just pinch hitting, but this is going to help Pastor Prost and what he is striving to do, amen, here at Mooringsport. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, right, and verse 14 and 15. Again, it's talking about forgiveness, right? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Y'all see the connection? As we forgive our debtors. See, I got to shut my flesh down, shut my emotions down, shut my pride down, and say, I forgive you. But the benefit of that is he forgives me. Amen? Now, why would God come back two verses later and still be on the theme of forgiveness? Think about that. Two verses later, he's back on this theme of forgiveness. Why is that? Because it's very important to the heart of God. God is trying to funnel those benefits to you. He's trying to funnel those charms to you. He's trying to funnel those blessings to you. But if we stay small picture minded, silo minded, then we're, she embarrassed me in front of the church. I can't believe that. But if we take the high road, then God just opened up that channel just a little bit wider and said, get that to my daughter. She's chosen the high road. Get that to my daughter. Get that to my son. Verse 14, right? For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So in other words, the channel begins to narrow. and get tight when we choose the low road, the channel of blessings, right? Start getting clogged up. Mm-hmm. Right. And then we wonder, what's wrong? What's wrong, Lord? You seem so distant. What's wrong? And then he's going to remind you, remember when so-and-so did this on the job? And you posted it on social media? Channels start closing. The pipes start getting clogged up. The windows, Malachi 3, the windows start getting clogged up. And then instead of the rain coming, one drop falls. Oh, it's dry. Mm-hmm. Can I get a witness? Amen. So we practice forgiving, and then we move on to adapting. Now, this is one of those ones that sometimes it's hard to get your head around, but adapting. And the reason I say that, because God is a God of tradition, and tradition is good. Most traditions are good. It's good to come to church every Sunday. That's a tradition. And when you do that, you're right in line with Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, right? But sometimes we're not close enough to pick up the subtle changes that God do sometimes. Can I get a witness? You see, this is one of those that's, I'm talking relationship now. I'm talking closeness. Now, if I'm right on point, somebody ought to say amen. I'm talking closeness now, right? Let's look at Luke 22. Luke 22, verses 35 and 36. Luke 22, verse 35 and 36. Right? Amen. Now watch this subtle change. And he said unto them, when I sent, he's talking to the disciples, which, you know, this room is filled with disciples, right? And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and script and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said, nothing. We didn't lack. When we didn't pre-plan, we just went, right? Out of sheer obedience and on a whim, right? We just went by faith. We didn't lack anything. Then he said unto them, that's them two key words now, but now he that hath the purse, do what? Let him take it. And likewise his script. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and do what? I thought God was a God of peace. Subtle change. You see it? So adaptation is necessary. Can I get a witness? Why? Because you know who's talking. It's in red. It's Jesus talking, who knows everything, right? So he sensed a dispensation change coming up. He sensed a shift coming up. So he's sharing with them, trying to do what? Prepare them for the shift. See, we can get dialed into what we always used to do since 1984, right? And so anything different, anything that's subtle, no. Because we always did it, right? Y'all remember when Peter was in Acts chapter 9, went on the housetop to pray and fell into a trance, right? Y'all remember that? And then God showed him a vision with the sheet and had all of the non-Jewish animals and creatures in them. And you know what tradition said? Oh, no, Lord. Oh, no, I'm a kosher Jew. Oh, no, I'm not eating that. Can I help somebody today? But finally, the Holy Spirit, right, began to get through to him, right, and say that I'm not talking about animals, but I'm talking about the Gentiles. And there's a man named Cornelius who's a Gentile who needs you. It's quiet. I know y'all thinking. I know y'all pondering it. I know. But the point is, if he had stayed dialed into what always was, he never would have made the adjustment, right, to get the word to the Gentiles, which God had wanted all along. Why you say that, young blood? Because of what Acts 1:8 said. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Can I get a witness? Am I somewhere in the Bible? Amen. So what? The adaptation was necessary for Peter to make to be able to what? Fulfill the plan that God wanted all along, and he was blessed or more blessed as a result. Amen. How about Exodus 14, Old Testament? Exodus 14. So Jesus Christ was telling them, okay, now remember, you used to do this, but now I want you to do that. And if we're steeped too much, right? Y'all love me. I hope y'all praying for me. If you're steeped too much in the old, it can't be anything but the old, you're going to miss out on some of those blessings that he have for you. Okay? Amen. How many of y'all following me so far? So we need to practice adapting. Practice adapting. Young blood, how do you practice? You practice based on your relationship with God. Where is it today? Right? And then where you want it to be 3 years from now. If you want it at the same place, you're not adapting. I want it to be closer. I want him to confide in me sometimes, like he did with Abram. And he said, I'm not going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abram, if you can find 10 righteous men. That's confiding. He confiding in Abram. Y'all see the relationship? So he's consulting with him and said, look here, let's talk about this. If I get 60 righteous, I won't destroy it. Okay. How about 50? How about 40? I just want to highlight the relationship. God and Abram are sitting here having a conversation. Say, hello. I'm understanding. That's what God wants. Exodus 14, 19. Now, this is not as subtle, but let's look at it closely. Verse 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, this is the great Exodus. Now Moses is leading them out, right? And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and did what? And went behind them. If I'm dialed in, young man, to before, when they go behind, I'm lost. I'm lost. What happened? What? Practice adapting. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and did what? Stood behind them. A change. There was a change. There was a subtle change. There was an adaptation. Somebody raise your right hand and say, young blood, I see it. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9. The prophet Daniel. This is regarding prayer. Daniel chapter 9. If this is like a high pressure water hose now, just take a breath. Okay. Thank you, Father. Daniel 9, verse 20 and 21. Daniel 9, verse 20. Oh, this is an addition. I'm sorry, guys. My media guys. This is an addition. You're right. I inserted this. Amen. Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. So we probably got to turn to it. The mic is working feverishly to get it up. 9:20 says, "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God," verse 21, "yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation." Right? So this is one method, right? So I'm praying, I'm confessing my sins, confessing Israel's sins, and I'm standing in prayer, and then, whoo, there he is. He shows up. Gabriel. Wow. Let's go to the next chapter. Chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 2. Chapter 10. Talking about practicing adapting. Right? Now see, in these cases, the disciples didn't know, but they had the mindset to say, this is a shift. This is a God-ordained shift. This is a divine shift. Daniel chapter 10, verse 2. Daniel chapter 10, verse 2. "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning," how long? 3 full weeks. Three full weeks. Verse 13 says, same chapter 10, verse 13, "But the prince of the kingdom of..." Now this is the messenger explaining what happened. Or as the young people say, what had happened. Verse 13 says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." On one hand, the old way, right, what always was, Brother Eddie, was that I'm going to do this thing, and I'm going to confess and pray, and then the angel going to show up. Almost immediately, he's there. But without the subtle shift, when it takes 21 days for him to show up, what's we going to do? We wants to throw in the towel. We want to say, oh, what's going on? Why is this happening? But 21 days. So it takes what? Adapting. Daniel had some sense of closeness to God about him that he said, oh, I kind of see what's happening now. So let me fast. Let me do without my steak and potatoes. And let me just get before God. And he ended up getting before God for 3 weeks. What am I saying? If we have the mentality to adapt, you understand what I'm saying? Then these things will not throw us for a loop. And then we'll be all, I'm going to have to call the Graham Association. I got to get with Northwest Baptist. So I got to call Brother Lane Moore. Something wrong here. How many of y'all see it? One time, like that, snap of the finger. The other time, 21 days. God wants us to be prepared as we move and edge closer to the end times for this ability to be open-minded to adapt. It won't be the norm. What kind of standard do I have? Just the Word of God. Just the Word of God. Just the Word of God. See, Peter was able to connect the dots, right? And end up going to Cornelius. Daniel was able to connect the dots, right? And hear from the angel with an explanation and say, I was held up. So what are we going to do when our angel is held up? Thank you, Brother Max. Amen. Last one. Managing offenses. Managing offenses. And this one, Brother Mike, we can pull up those definitions if we have them. Because this one is kind of hard to, with the Hebrew and Greek definitions, I think. So this is from Strong's Concordance. So I think this one is probably the Hebrew one out of Psalm 119, which we're going to look at shortly. But that's the Hebrew definition, 4383, a stumbling block. Offenses are a stumbling block. Obstacle, thank you, sir. Cause to fall, offense, no thing offered, ruin, stumbling block. Okay? And then the other one, the Greek one, which is probably coming out of, actually it's both of them. We're going to look at three scriptures. So one, the first one is Matthew 24:10, and that's the Greek. Y'all see, it means scandalize, to entrap, right? Or entice to sin, apostasy, displeasure, make to offend, right? And then the other, the last one out of Luke 17, that's the one right below it, I think, is 24:65. I'm just trying to paint a picture of what this means, right? In a nutshell, it's when we're hurt by something that someone said or did. Right? And I struggle with this sometimes myself. And the lady I've been betrothed to for 45 years. Somehow my expectations of her are false. You understand what I'm saying? You know how we get in our own mind? Well, she should know this. I've been married to her for 43 years. I said 45, 43 years. But yet that response can cause hurt. Oh, like a stab in the heart. But God said, I want us to start managing our offenses. Right? So let's look at Psalm 119, 165. And this is my last offering. I bet somebody said, thank God. Okay. 119. We ain't inviting him back. Okay. 119, 165. Now keep in mind, this is the standard. So this is the standard. Psalm 119, 165. And at first, I didn't understand this because of what Jesus says in the New Testament that kind of tempers and balances, Eddie, what's going on, right? So Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace, right? I'll get there. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So it's not as absolute as that, right? It's not as absolute as that, but that first portion, Sister Bonnie, will help us to manage the last part. So that it's the great peace have they which love thy law. So I want to be found loving the law, loving the scripture, loving the word, loving the God that wrote the word, loving, right? And so as I put these things in me, right, then the impact of offenses will be less. the impact, they're coming. They will come because we're going to look at one. We're going to look at the New Testament here shortly. They will come. But the impact of them will be less. Because sometimes, y'all, when we get hurt, we leave the church. Right? Sometimes when we get hurt, we quit talking to our spouses. And we go and sulk. Can I get a witness? Married couples. But he said, great peace have they which love thy law. So I can put that in me to a greater degree, Gloria. I can put that in me to a greater degree, right? Then when Eddie says something sharp, then I'm already prepared. Can I get a witness? It still may hurt me, but it won't hurt as much. Because what? I've put the great peace of the law in me. And I've put Ephesians 5 in me, which says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I put those things in me. And then it begins to shape up here. Can I get a witness? Luke 17. This is what I was talking about. Luke 17. See, Christ is the central theme of the scripture, Old and New Testament. So when Christ came, he is God, right? So he knows everything. Now watch what he says about offenses in Luke 17. All right? And then we're going to look at the last one in Matthew 24:10. Is this helping anybody today? Yes. Practice. We're talking about practice these things so we can get closer to God. So I get the full range of benefits or the full range of blessings that belong to me. You say, well, God, hadn't God been good to me already? Yes, he has. But I think everybody in this church will say, I would like him to be greater than good. Right? Come on now. I know I would. Amen. Where are we? Matthew, Luke 17. I'm in Matthew. Luke 17. Okay. Then he said unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast it into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Right? Amen. And then verse 3, of course, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, we've heard this before, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Rebuke him. That means call him on the carpet. If he repents, let him go. Release him. Forgive him or her. Release him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day and seven times in a day, turn again, saying, I repent, thou shalt what? Forgive him. And I know everybody's mind said, that seven seem a lot. Woo, that seven is high. Shouldn't it be two? No, it's seven. Amen. But what it's talking about is that offenses will come. They will come. And as we edge into this edge of the end times, we see it being played out right now in the Middle East. And can I whisper something to you? The Palestinians are winning the PR war. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? The public relations war. Why? Because the media is unsaved. The media is unsaved. 95% of the media are heathenistic, unsaved folk. So the Palestinians are winning the PR war right now. That means every time you turn on the TV, oh, the Palestinian children, oh my God, I can't. That's what I'm talking about, people of God, when I'm talking about dialed into kingdom language and kingdom thinking. See, you'll know, right? If I know God and I'm close to God, I know what the scripture says. Right? Or I'm learning what the scripture says about those who attack Israel. The brother prayed it right before the offering. See, but if I listen to CNN and all of these other, then I'm going to get moved. Then my heart's going to get soft for Yemen. And my heart's going to get soft for Iran. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Why am I saying that? Because it's exposure. It's exposure. How many of y'all see those pet commercials with the poor dogs that are dying, right? I mean, I don't mean to say it that way, but you understand what I'm saying? If you see that five times a day, guess what? By that sixth time, you got your checkbook out. I got to help these. I'm laughing at myself. I got to help these animals. So you see what I'm saying? So guards up, guards up, guards up. Practice these things. Know what the truth is, right? Know what God says about it. And I don't mean that in an absolute way now. I mean learn to know, grow to know, grow to know. I'm in Hosea now. Grow to know, and then I will know. All right? Matthew 24:10. You say, this brother came, and he kind of got strong with us, Pastor. No, not really. I'm just trying to help us prepare. Matthew 24:10, last offering. Now notice what Jesus said about the end time. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Who he's talking about is those who are not close to him. Those who don't know him in a very intimate way. Those who do not know Psalm 119:165. Great peace to him that love thy law. See? So you can run rampant the other way without the truth. That's what I'm saying. Prepare for the truth. Put the truth in you. Prepare for it. See, and then many shall be offended. And then the next step, Max, is going to betray one another. I'm going to sell you out to the Antichrist. Such and such, such and such, on certain address over there. Yeah, they worship God and they pray. I'm anonymous. Then they're going to start betraying one another, right? And then shall hate one another. Without the balance of Psalm 119:165. Without the balance of Luke 17, right? Forgive my brother. Forgive. Take the high road. How many of y'all see what I'm saying? Amen. So I just wanted to come by and gently challenge us to get closer, to get in better position, because there are greater blessings with closer position and a closer positioning. So we want to position ourselves for the end game. There is an end game, and it may involve adaptation. It may involve forgiveness. It likely will involve repentance. And I'm talking about us, the saved ones. And it will likely involve managing offenses. God bless you and keep you today. We'll yield to Brother Max.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.